What a joy it is to be with you in this great conference, to be back in the state of Florida. I love this Florida district. I love the way you worship God. I'm telling you, Florida folks know how to worship God. I commend you for that. I love the way you love the Word. I love the unity that I feel here. This is just a good place to be right now. Can you say amen? Are you glad you're here? It touched the future. Hallelujah. I do give honor tonight to Bishop Varnum and to Pastor Varnum, and appreciate so deeply the burden that they have to be a blessing to young ministers, aspiring ministers, even us that are beyond young and aspiring. And I thank God for events like this. They've had this event a long time, and they are to be commended for that. Why don't we give both Brother Varnum and Pastor Varnum both a hand? I think they like you. Your bishop goes to Thailand with us just about every year. And I'm telling you, if you all ever get tired of him here in Bellevue, them Thai people would like to have him over there all the time. They love him in Thailand. And so thank you, Brother Varnum, and Pastor Varnum, for the investment you're making in Thailand. So good to see all of our friends and ministers here tonight. Brother Jeff Arnold, I wish I was sitting in your seat and you were standing here preaching. I love this preacher. I'm thrilled that God is touching you. Glad you're feeling better. Amen. Praise God. Brother Mike Williams, one of my dear, dear, dear friends. So good to be with him tonight. All the pastors and ministers. Pastor Jason Varnum literally stepped all over what I want to preach to you about tonight in his opening comments. My subject tonight that I am either going to preach, or some of you will walk away and say I was meddling, but my subject tonight is either we believe it or we don't. I'm tired of folks living in the gray areas. I'm tired of anonymity. I'm tired of the folks that are standing back saying, I'm just going to take a look-see attitude. Just going to wait and see how it all pans out. I've come to this conference on the first night to tell you, either we believe it or we don't. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5, every preacher, every young preacher here knows this verse. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse number 5. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the cheat screen. We had to put those in all of our churches because Christians forgot how to carry their Bibles to church. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse number 5. The word of the Lord said, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. God said, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Shake hands with four or five people. Tell every one of them, either we believe it or we don't. And you may be seated. One of the greatest honors of my lifetime is to have the privilege to pastor the great church that I am pastoring presently. Chesapeake, Virginia is a great, great, great church. It is a praying church, and I thank God for that, that I pastor people that know the importance of prayer. It is a giving church, and I thank God that they love to give to the work of God. I don't have to beg them. I don't have to pry it out of them. They love to give to the work of God. It is a church that loves the lost. It's a church that's got a lot of faithful people in it. It's a church that's enjoying great revival right now. I'm happy to tell you and give glory to God in this report that 68 of the last 71 Sundays, we've had somebody get the Holy Ghost and baptized in our church. 68 out of 71. We had over 60 people filled with the Holy Ghost last week in our local church. God has filled over 500 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the last 70 weeks in our church. I'm all excited about it. We've baptized over 120 Spanish. We've baptized 15 Guamanians. And this is really exciting. We've baptized 57 gypsies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last 70 weeks. There's nothing that makes me any happier than the fact that nearly every week, not every week, but nearly every week, we have prodigals that are coming back to God. I believe that God gave me a word last year that in 2015 that He would bring prodigals back to Him. And I'm seeing Him do that, not just in our church, but across our nation. Our church has about 600 to 700 on any given Sunday. And before Easter, I challenged them. I said, we're going to have an Easter promotion this year that's unlike any promotion we've ever had before. This year, we're not giving away iPads. We're not giving away grocery carts full of groceries. We're not giving away gift cards. We're not going to reward you for filling up a pew by giving you money or some gift. The only competition we're going to have this Easter is with the devil. And I challenged our church. I said, I want to find out how many people we can preach the gospel to in one single day. The only challenge this Easter is how many can we preach the gospel to in one Sunday at our church and our daughter churches. And I'm happy to tell you that on Easter Sunday, we preached the gospel to 2,216 people. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. You say, Brother Cunningham, y'all had 2,216 in church. We actually had more than that. We had an Easter egg hunt in the middle of the day that 500 or 600 people in our neighborhood came to, and I didn't let them count any of them because the goal was how many can we preach the gospel to in one day. Why are you telling all of this, Brother Cunningham? Because I've come to preach to you tonight. Maybe I'll preach and maybe I'll just talk. That's yet to be seen. But I've come to talk to us tonight. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to grasp what God is doing. It's time for us to begin to believe what God said He would do in the last day. I'm happy to tell you it's not just happening where I pastor, but revival is happening all over North America and around the world. Brother Barnum couldn't be there this year, but on Sunday, Brother Barnum in Prangadai, Thailand, up there, you've been there many times. On Sunday, we had 148 Thai people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, hold on. That's exciting. Is T in here? T translated for me. Is she in here? Right there. T translated for me on that day. It's exciting that 148 get the Holy Ghost anywhere. But I want to point out to you that all 148 of them were born Buddhist and were ex-Buddhist that God filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me talk to you for just a moment. Across North America and around the world, more people are being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today than at any other time before in the history of the church. There are more people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost today than at any other time in the history of the church. And the reason you're not amening is because we don't all believe that yet. I have been in crusades and I have seen with my own eyes more people get the Holy Ghost in one service than what is recorded in the entire book of Acts, all added together. I'm only 57 years old. That's young. One of my young preachers told me the other day, said, I was talking to this old man the other day, pastor, said he must have been 55 or something. I said, it'll be months before you preach again in our church. 57 years old, and can I say to you that more people have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in my short lifetime than the 2,000 previous years all added together. I'm getting a few more of you clapping and saying amen. The Apostolic Church is sending out more missionaries than we've ever sent. The Apostolic Church is giving more money to missions than we've ever given. Just one service last October at our general conference, $5.5 million given to missions in one single service. We have more youth excited about living for God today than ever before. I talked to our general youth president. He told me, Brother Cunningham, Youth Congress sold out 18,000 seats in 14 hours. He said, we opened up an overflow with 4,400 seats more, and that sold out in 45 minutes. Do you know what that means? That means that 22,500 young people are excited about getting together and having a conference that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about youth pursuing ministry. Meetings like this are springing up all over our fellowship. Now, everybody be seated for a moment. I want every young man and woman, maybe you've never told anybody, but we're going to put you on the spot right now. Every young man or woman that believes God has already spoke to you, that you have a ministry, that there's something He's calling you to do for Him, I want you to stand. Even if you've never acknowledged it before, look around you. Look around you. I'm praying that in this conference, there's going to be an impartation. There's going to be an anointing that
comes on every one of you standing, every one of you that's hungry, that God would touch your life. It's going to happen this week. Oh, yes, 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 yes. God bless you. You may be seated. Just in the United Pentecostal Church, and we are not the only apostolic organization, but just in the United Pentecostal Church, we have more than 32,000 ministers worldwide. We have more than 40,500 churches worldwide. What are you trying to do, Brother Cunningham? I'm trying to tell you it's time for the Church of the Living God to wake up and see the hand of God at work among us. Hold on just a minute. You're never going to hear me talk about revival in the future tenth. I'm never going to say revival's coming down the road. I'm never going to say revival's around the next bend or revival's over the next horizon. Honey, I believe this is it. This is it. This is the greatest day that the apostolic church has ever seen. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We are enjoying an unprecedented move of God as an apostolic church. We're seeing unprecedented revival. We're seeing unprecedented growth. We're seeing unprecedented power, unprecedented anointing, unprecedented spiritual authority, unprecedented miracles are taking place among us. There has never been a day like this day. Oh, you act like you know what you're talking about, Brother Cunningham. I do. My mama brought me to church when I was 5 days old. You could count on your two hands the Sundays, the weeks. I've not been in an apostolic church in 57 years. I've been around this church a long time. And when I hear people talk about the good old days, I remember churches that maybe the first three or four rows would fill the church up. I remember old potbelly stoves. I remember a woman playing the piano that couldn't hit the right note if her life depended on it. I remember people praying for the Holy Ghost for a year and still not getting it. You can talk about the good old days all you want to, but honey, this is the end time. This is the time that God has prepared His church for. And either we believe it or we don't. You and I are apostolic at the most prophetically charged moment in the history of the world. There's never been a day like this day. And I present to you, young minister, aspiring minister, pastor friend, great district of Florida, I present to you that this is our day. If you've been looking for it, it's here. If you've been hoping for it, it's arrived. And either we believe it or we don't. The Word of God declares that the greatest church in all of history will be the church that's in the earth just prior to the rapture. Turn to somebody and say, that's us. Turn to somebody else and say it with conviction, that's us. Either we believe it or we don't. I don't know what you've made your mind up to do, but I've made my mind up. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing at the end time. I've made my mind up, whatever I've got to do, wherever I got to go, whatever I got to give up, however long I got to pray, however many meals I got to miss, I've got my mind made up. I'm going to be a part of this great revival. I don't know about you, but I refuse. I refuse to sit on the sidelines. I refuse to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator in what God's doing. I'm giving myself to God. I'm asking Him to use me as He pleases. And I pray the same prayer every day of my life. God, I want you to get glory out of my life. If nothing else happens every day, I want God to get glory out of my life. Honey, for you to get to that place, you have to believe in this thing. We need to get it in our heads. We need to get it in our heads that God is coming back for a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You listen to me today when I tell you that the end time church is not going to be a weak church. It's not going to be a beaten church. It's not going to be an anemic church. It's not going to be a defeated church. It's not going to be a powerless church. It's not going to be a compromising church. You may be seated. In the midst of the most sinful generation ever known, in the midst of the darkest time in the history of the world, in the midst of religious compromise, you hear me, God is raising up a church like this world has never seen before. Now you may be seated. Don't want to catch anybody standing up on something you don't want to stand up on. But the church that you and I are a part of, the church that God is preparing to take this world by storm at the time of the rapture of the church, as God wraps up everything. And if you don't know He's doing that, you need to get you an app on your Twitter for Fox News and start listening to the news or CNN or something. Because every day, not sometimes, every day, the news is screaming in an apostolic church, Jesus is coming. I believe with all of my heart that God is raising up the most powerful church that has ever been on this earth. I believe God is raising up the most gifted church. I was with a man that believes exactly what we believe, only he's not part of the United Pentecostal Church. He's part of another apostolic organization, and he is extremely gifted in the gifts of the Spirit. And I said to him, I said, to help me to know how to help our people in the United Pentecostal Church to be more used in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, UPC people have a great big hurdle to get over. I said, what's that? He said, it's their own ego. Hold on. You don't want to clap for stuff like that.
He said 99.9% of your people that God tries to use, one out of every thousand, he said, might be the exception. But 999 of them don't do it because they're afraid what they'll look like if it don't work. And they make the decision not to be used of God because of their own egos. I'd rather pray for 100 people and have God heal one than pray for zero to protect my own ego. I'd rather give somebody a good word from the Lord. And by the way, if you're operating in the gifts, the Bible said the gifts are for edification. God is never going to tell one of you young guys to go tell somebody in the church their spouse is in adultery. God is never going to tell one of you young guys, go tell some old saint of God, you're fixing to die. The gifts are for edification. And because the gifts are for edification, how can you mess it up? Go tell somebody, I think you're great. God loves you. God's going to bless you. How can you mess it up? I believe the most gifted church in the history of the world is the church God is preparing right now for the end time. I believe we're to be a church with signs and wonders. I believe we're to be a church with resolute beliefs. We don't need to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Go ahead and sit down in case you don't want to stand on this next one. I believe we're supposed to be a church that's absolutely sold out to holiness. Say, Brother Cunningham, haven't you been listening to the news? Aren't you hearing what the media is reporting? Haven't you heard what the government recently mandated? Haven't you heard some of the decrees that come out of the Supreme Court lately? Brother Cunningham, the religious world is changing day by day. Brother Cunningham, educators have turned their back on anything godly and anything righteous. Brother Cunningham, our culture is embracing every kind of sin there is to embrace. I know that all of that is going on, but God said, I'm going to do a work in your day that you're not going to believe even though it be told you. I've come to tell you that God's going to raise up a church in the middle of this dark hour that's going to blow your mind. And either we believe it or we don't. You may be seated. I was preaching along in Mississippi and made a statement. My wife got so agitated at me after church. She don't like me to say words like stupid in the pulpit. But there are some things there just ain't no other word for. I've lived 57 years and I've found out there ain't no cure for stupid. My wife don't like me to say shut up in the pulpit. She told me that if you're going to be an apostolic preacher, you can't say that stuff. And I said, babe, I don't know how else to say it. It's time for us apostolics to either put up or shut up. Brother Mike Williams, I went to the dictionary to find out what it meant. The Dictionary of American Idioms says of put up or shut up, either take action in order to start doing what you've been talking about or stop talking about it. I've come to Florida to tell you, it's either time to start doing what we've talked about so long, or we need to quit talking about it. Let me talk to you a moment about apostolic doctrine. Either we believe it or we don't. I'm not hesitating because I don't know what to say. I'm hesitating because I'm trying to filter what I'm wanting to say. These preachers that are backing up on Acts 2:38 and one God and separation from the world, saints of God that are compromising with the world. I started my church with me and my wife and a 74-year-old woman. I preached. My wife sat there and the 74-year-old woman sat there. And honey, if I got to go back to preaching to one old woman again, I've got my mind made up. I'm not compromising for anybody. I'm not backing down from what I believe for anybody. I'm not backing down from the Word of God for anybody. You young ministers that are here, before you ever really get started in ministry, you better know what you believe. You better know what the Bible says. You better get it down in your gut and make your mind up. I'm not turning my back on it if it cost me blood. I've made this statement everywhere I've preached in the last 6 months. I'll make it again tonight. It is absolutely impossible to be apostolic if you don't embrace apostolic doctrine. It's impossible to have an apostolic ministry without apostolic doctrine. It is impossible to have an apostolic church without apostolic doctrine. I know that in meetings like this, we're going to talk a lot about signs and wonders and gifts. But honey, we need to get a death grip on apostolic doctrine. It is our foundation. It is our anchor. It is our mooring. For the record, I believe in repentance that includes turning away from sin. More than a few tears, more than the right words, more than even being sorry. True repentance includes turning away from sin. Water baptism is still by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I still believe the Holy Ghost is essential for salvation. It's not icing on the cake. It's not an added blessing. It's not one of the gifts of the Spirit in this sense. It is essential to salvation. I believe, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and Him alone shall you serve. Now let's see if you still clap on this one. I still believe holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. God's omnipresent. But he doesn't say anywhere in the book, be ye omnipresent as I'm omnipresent. God is omnipotent, all powerful. But he doesn't say, be ye all powerful as I am all powerful. God is omniscient. Some of you think you got that gift. All knowing. But he doesn't say, be ye omniscient as I am omniscient. Hello? The only attribute in your Bible where God said there's something that makes me, me, that I want to see in you. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. Brother Cunningham, you can't build a church. You can't build a church preaching that old holiness and separation stuff. Let me tell you, I've had 500 get the Holy Ghost in the last 70 weeks. We added 241 people to our active role in 2014. The mayor of our city got the Holy Ghost standing in my pulpit. We had a wealthy builder that came in, he and his wife, and got the Holy Ghost, but never lined up to holiness. And I decided it's been too long since I preached on holiness, and I thought, hope I don't lose Alan and Sheila, but I'm preaching it today. And I preached old-fashioned holiness to a multimillionaire. And I went to the lobby after church to shake hands with people leaving. And that wealthy contractor grabbed my hand and said, preacher, you ever quit preaching like that? I'm going to find me another church to go to. I baptized the head of trauma surgery at Norfolk General Hospital and his wife, who is a pediatrician. And we've baptized school teachers and we've baptized bankers. Don't you tell me we can't have revival. It's not about our holiness. It's not about our separation. The world doesn't have a problem with holiness and separation. It's carnal saints. And carnal preachers. I'm sorry, I'm the most old-fashioned 57-year-old you ever met. I still believe, young man, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I still believe, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Either we believe it or we don't. Say, preacher, give me a little time. Give me a little time. Give me a couple years. Let me figure all this out. I'm tired of giving people that grew up in the church. My new converts are sitting in the front of the church. We get to worship and we're like you guys around here. They get to worshiping so hard it looks like they're licking the paint off the ceiling. They're jumping and screaming and shouting. And when I preach, they're up on their feet saying, we're hungry. Give it to us. Tell us what to do.
And then I got to go to the office after church with some old saint that's been here 35 years. And she's trying to figure out whether or not she ought to be cutting her hair or not. I've come to challenge you tonight. Either we believe it or we don't. This isn't the time to play around. This isn't the time to compromise. This isn't the time to back up. This is the time to say, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I don't care what Washington, D.C. does. I don't care what the Supreme Court does. I don't care what the educational system does. I don't care what the culture does. I am not going to trade biblical correctness for political correctness. I don't care who it offends. I don't care who don't like it. I'm going to take a stand for the Word of God. Either we believe it or we don't. Now I hope there's no doubt in your mind where I stand on apostolic doctrine. It's absolutely impossible for you to be apostolic and not embrace apostolic doctrine. Impossible. If you believe that, clap your hands and say amen. Now, just as strong as I believe you cannot be apostolic without apostolic doctrine, young man, young lady, listen to me. We cannot call ourselves apostolic if we don't have apostolic demonstration among us. I go to churches. They haven't had anybody get the Holy Ghost since they remember. I'm not making this up, Brother Arnold. I visited a church not too long ago that I guarantee you had a 2,000-pound palm tree in the baptistry. They didn't know where else to set it, so they put it in the baptistry, and the thing had grown so big, it told me they haven't baptized nobody for years. You'd have to have a crane to get that thing out of there. I go to churches that don't remember the last time someone was healed. Don't remember the last miracle. Don't remember the last marriage that was put back together. The last backslider that came in. Now, hold on. Their hair's the right length. You'd pick them out as apostolic if you saw them walking down the street. And they can quote all 300 verses in the Bible that talks about one God. Acts 2:38, they got down pat. They've got apostolic doctrine. But hear me, it's going to make some of you mad. The same as you cannot be apostolic without apostolic doctrine, you cannot be apostolic without apostolic demonstration. Hold on. I don't care how many verses you can quote. I don't care how long your hair and dress is. I don't care how you look. I don't care that you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't take drugs. I don't care that you got the other side of it down pat. If you don't have apostolic demonstration, you are not apostolic. These signs shall follow them that believe. My God, have mercy. We need to get this mode of just showing up and having church. Three songs, offering, announcement, special, and the preacher preaches a little, and we hurry off to Denny's to eat and have fellowship. We need to have a move of God, honey. Every time we come into the house of God, we need to let God move among us. I thank God for this great choir. They sang so beautifully tonight. And look at all these fabulous instruments. And everybody playing them knows what they're doing. I thank God for all of that. I thank God for the screens and the awesome sound room. And all these lights in this beautiful building. But can I tell you that nothing will ever take the place of a move of God. I don't care what else you've got down pat. We've got to have a move of God. I meet with my staff every Sunday morning. We meet before service and have prayer together at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And in that office, I've gave them the same talk more times than I could even remember. But I'll remind them often, Brother Collins, we only have 52 Sundays in a year. We have about an hour and a half on Sunday morning. We've got another hour and a half on Sunday night. We have 52 Sundays with about 3 hours of people in church. They're going to go to work 40 hours a week. They're going to watch the television, according to statistics, another 15 or 18 hours a week. They're going to drive back and forth to the work anywhere from 6 to 12 hours a week. They're going to go play ball and have fun another 10 or 12 hours a week. I've got them 3 hours a week. I'm not going to waste 1 minute of it. I don't care about program. I don't care about what else is going on. We got to have a move of God. I had a young man come up to me at General Conference. Young man I love dearly, pastors, a daughter congregation. And he said, "Oh, Pastor, we had the greatest service last Sunday we've ever had." I said, "Oh, wow, really? How many got the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Well, nobody got the Holy Ghost." But he said, "Oh my God, if you'd have heard the choir sing. Man, did the choir sing." I said, "Well, how many got baptized?" He said, "Pastor, it wasn't one of them kind of services, but everybody in the building was shouting and dancing." I said, "How many repented?" He said, "Nobody repented, Pastor." He said, "But the saints all got around in circles and prayed with each other until they danced in the Spirit." I said, "How many lives were changed?" He said, "Preacher, it wasn't that kind of service. Do you hear what I'm about to tell you? Listen, don't respond, just listen. If we come to church and don't feel God, we have wasted our time here." You're not clapping. Hold on, don't clap now. I'd be hypocritical. You're not clapping because we've convinced ourselves that some of our programs are just as important as a move of God. That some of the people we honor I love Brother Williams. I love what Brother Tenney says. He said, "God's got a problem. He thinks church ought to be all about him." I got news for you. It ain't about what kind of dress you got on tonight. It ain't about how you had your hair fixed. It's not about what kind of car you drove up in. It's not about who you're sitting by. It's not about what your name is. It's not about what position you hold. When we come into this place, is anybody hearing me? We got to forget everything but Him. We've got to forget everybody but Him and have a move of God. I'm telling you, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that God is trying right now. We are so close to there being an explosion of the Spirit and power of God in this house. Right now, God's trying to break in here. Right this very moment, God's trying to break into your life and your mind. There's an impartation for this conference. There's an anointing for this conference. I want everybody in the building, stop just for a minute. Stop for one moment. The Bible said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely have you received, freely give. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. I want you to know that if you're a believer, and I know I'm surrounded by a house full of them, you've got enough power. You know the name of Jesus. There could be unbelievable miracles take place here right now. And I've come to preach to you. Either we believe it or we don't. Either we're going to embrace this thing or we're not. Either we're going to stand up and be the church that God has prepared us to be. I'm sorry, I don't mean to prophesy negatively, but I believe He'll raise up another if we don't embrace it. We've got to embrace it. We've got to accept who we are. We've got to accept the truth and the power and the anointing that God has placed upon us. And it's time to do something with it. Hold on. Brother Arnold, Brother Williams, you'll remember a few years ago, Brother Urshan, he loved to preach all over the country about what Dr. John Jimenez said about the United Pentecostal Church. I'm the one Jimenez said that to. And I'm the one that told Brother Urshan about it. I was in a meeting in Virginia Beach. Who's who in religion was in that meeting? Assistant General Superintendents of the Assembly of God, Presidents of the Baptist Church, all the TBN crowd, all the CNN crowd, all of Liberty. Jerry Falwell was on the platform. Phil Driscoll played the trumpet for us. I'm telling you, who's who in religion was in that meeting. John Jimenez, I literally have to drive by their church to go to my own. John Jimenez invited me to come to the front. I was literally sitting on the back row of that huge gymnasium. I don't know, 700, 800 church leaders there, maybe more or less. He invited me to the front. I stood with him in the pulpit. He put his arm around me. He was a little short man. He just passed. He was a little short man. He put his arm up on my shoulder and he got in the microphone and he said, we need these United Pentecostal Church preachers in what we're doing. He said, the greatest preachers and the greatest singers in the whole world are in the United Pentecostal Church. That's with who's who in religion standing there. That's the part I told Brother Urshan, and he told all over the country. Let me do the Paul Harvey rest of the story. Dr. John Jimenez turned his back to the microphone after introducing me, walked up to me, stood and looking up in my face, and he said, it's a shame. all what God has given the United Pentecostal Church, and you're not doing any more with it than what you are. That's the rest of the story. And I've come to tell us, I give my life to this United Pentecostal Church. I love it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But I've come to tell you, either we believe it or we don't. Either we're going to embrace what God has called us to do, or we're going to miss it. We're not going to get another chance. There's not going to be another generation. There's not going to be another 40 years. Either we're going to get a hold of it, and we're going to say, God, I want you to get glory out of my life, and I'm willing to spend and be spent for the kingdom. I'm willing to give everything I've got. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, go where you want me to go, be what you want me to be. Either we believe it or we don't. How many of you, I could just let you start praying and get a little blessing. But God told me in the hotel room, he was going to prove himself tonight. How many of you need a miracle? Raise your hand. You need a miracle. Raise your hand high. Lift your hand up. You need a miracle. Now don't put your hand down. Leave your hand up. And because almost everybody's got their hand up, you're going to have to take turns praying for each other. But I want you to turn to the closest person to you that has their hand up. I don't want you to just pray at them. I want you to put your hand on their head as a believer. I want you to throw your head back. I want you to take authority over sickness. I want you to take authority over disease. I want you to take authority over brokenness. I want you to take authority over depression and oppression. You ask sickness to go. You command. You command sickness to leave their body. You command disease and brokenness and depression to go. When you feel like God is touching you, I want you to begin to worship. I want you to begin to magnify Him. Some of you need to dance before the Lord. Whenever you feel like God, when you feel like God has touched you,